Okay, I think we left off, we were asking the question, which, again, we know, of course, some Rishonim is Rava's question in the Gemara. But we asked the question, why isn't every mode of mitzvah ne'eman with amigo de'ibai kafar akol? Which, we're not going to review it, but according to many, many Rishonim is Rava's question. But according to many Rishonim is not. So, what are the... what's Tosfos' answer? Why is
Migo by Kafar a coal?
So what's Tosfos' answer? Why isn't he then with Migo Kafar a coal? Exactly what we call a Migo de Ha'asa, right? And Tosfos assumes that what basically Ein Omer Migo Meis Lein Meis, right? Ein Omer Migo Mi Meis. But Ein Omer Meis, meaning a Migo de Ha'asa is a possible Migo. Right, which makes a lot of sense, because what's the point of Migu? Migu is Mali Lashakir, right? Migu is, I could have said a better Taina, I could have said Kofar HaKol, believe me when I'm loaded with Mitzas, because I can't be lying, because if I was lying, I would have just been Kofar HaKol. Over here, maybe I am lying, I just don't have Chutzpah, I just don't have enough gall to be Meis, and therefore it undercuts the Migu. Obviously, other Rishonim think Migu de Ha'aza is no problem. Right? Which other Rishonim? For example, the Rimigash. For example, the Rimigash. How do we know the Rimigash thinks a Migu de Ha'aza is a valid Migo? By Diyuk. If you look in the Rimigash, it's on the Makor sheet here. What's the famous answer to the Rimigash? The Rimigash in the Ramban, this is not an exhaustive list, just a representative list. Why do they say that a Kofar HaKol can't be potter with a Migo? That his mode mix is not potter with a Migo of Kofar HaKol?
Because Migo doesn't work on Yeshua.
Exactly. Ein Omrin. Migo Le'afture Mishua. And how do they know there's no Migo Le'afture Mishua? So if you look in the Rimigash that I Xeroxed here, he says, one second. Alma, it's like two-thirds of the way down, second word. It starts Shvua. Alma, lo mina migo lefturim mishvua. Why? Does shomer the ikal meyumar migo lo mifter nafshi mishvua? Every shomer, right? What's classic Shvua? So shomer, you give me your cow, I say it was carried off by bandits. So I have to swear. I always have a migo that I could have said I returned it. Right?
Or I never got it.
Or I never got it. Migo v'ladam or hefzarti. Correct. So why aren't I putz with the shua with a migo? So the Rimigash says, must be migo d'adapati from shua. Ushua's mode of mixas nami or kachazina d'igil meyum migo. Every mode of mixas, why do you say a migo? Bafilo achichai barach mona shua. Helga ki amin your migo l'avturim imam and abo mishua lo. So he has these proofs. You don't say migo l'avturim mishua. Otherwise, how would you explain mode of mixas? Obviously, what would Tosfos say? Tosfos say, what do you mean, how do you explain why there's no Migo Modem Mitzvah? Migo de Ha'aza. What do you mean, why is every Shuas HaShomer and Pacha with a Migo of Lahadam? He's not Pacha because of Migo de Ha'aza, right? It's the exact same thing. I'm claiming it's carried off by bandits. That's not Ha'aza because you don't know. I'm going to claim you never gave it to me and I have the chutzpah to lie to your face when you know. That's a Migo de Ha'aza. So obviously, Tosfos thinks Migo de Ha'aza long Rinan. The Rimigash thinks there's no such concept as Migo de Ha'aza. He doesn't read that our Gemara is dealing with Migo. Rav's question is not about Migo. He thinks there's no such thing as Migo de Ha'aza. What's the only reason there's no Migo here? Because Migo doesn't pat you from Shua. So now, of course, I know there's a middle Shita. We have two very, very fascinating machlokos here between Tosfos and the Rambam, the Rimigash. Number one, do you say Migu the Ha'aza? Tosus thinks you don't. The Ramadari Migash think you do. Number two, do you say Migu Laftur Mishmua? Tosus thinks you would. That was Rabba's question. And the Ramadari Migash think you wouldn't. We'll have to look at these one at a time. Let's start with Migu the Ha'aza. So when it comes to Migu the Ha'aza, Tosus says that it's not good, right? And the Migash and the Rambam is the Diuk, but they say it is valid. How do we know they say Migu the Ha'aza is valid? Because they think that there would have been a Migu in every mode of Mitzvahs, in every Shavuos HaShomrim, except that you don't say Migu Laftur Mishmua. Now, what's the big Raya in Shas? The truth is there's more than one, there's just one that's famous. What's the big Raya in Shas against Tosos for the Rambam and the Migash? What? Who said that?
Hanu
Easy. Right, then what is that? Bas Lamed Vav. The Hanu Easy, the Achli Chushlo Ben Harda. Truth is that Tosos in some other places points out there's more than that. But that's the most popular Raya. Maybe it's the one of the strongest Rayas. What's the case there? Right, that I have a field. Your goats wander in and eat my chushli. What does Rashi say there? Chushli means peeled barley or something. Whatever it is, doesn't make a difference. They come and eat my food. So, and I cleverly lock the gate and lock them into my field. So now, what do I say? I have no proof. I just have my own claim that they were mazik, right? Shane, pays regular shalim. I'm neman, literally, I can eat the mayhem. I'm neman to demand my nezek, as long as it's less than the value of the goats. Migu, I could have said I bought them from you. So everyone points out, isn't that a migu de ha'aza? Right? After all, right now I'm claiming they ate my barley. That's not ha'aza, because no one else knows the truth but me. Migu, I could have said I bought them from you, and you're standing and you know you didn't sell them. That's ha'aza, maybe ain't on the man's punif. And therefore, migu de ha'aza should be puzzle. But the Gemara allows that Migu. That shows that we can't say Migu da'aza. That's the classic kash against Tosos.
That's, in terms of Tosos, that Migu da'aza is because he knows that I'm lying, then it's Migu da'aza. But if you say that Migu da'aza is because he did me a favor, then that would not
be... correct. If Migu da'aza means he did me a favor, then Tosos would not be bothered by that case. The only thing is that Tosos and everyone else in the entire world, except for Rashi, said that means he knows I'm lying. So that's not going to help us. It's not as if like one Tosus happens to say something. No, this is a very kavua shita. So, how do you defend Tosos? Question from the Hanu Easy, where we do say Amigu the Ha'aza. How do you defend Tosos against that question? So, here we have two basic approaches to how to defend Tosos. Either if you really wanted to defend Tosos, Tosos says Migu de Ha'aza lo amrinan. We say Migu de Ha'aza and Bavasa Flamed Vav by the easy. So what would Tosos have to say to defend himself? What? Tosos, not Rambam Rashi, but what? No, that's not what Tosos does not differentiate. No, that's not Tosos' shita.
It's not really awesome.
Exactly. So one approach is, right, for Tosos, himself. You have to say, Hanhu Easy is not really Ha'aza. Now, it looks like Ha'aza. What's the Taina? The Taina is Achlu Chushli Migu Delakuach. Migu, I could have sat there and said, you sold the goats to me. I mean, isn't that Ha'aza? So you have to say, selling the claim of Lakuach is not Ha'aza. Now that's obviously a little dochuk, but Tosos is going to have to be Nidchak to defend himself. Right? Again, Sam's giving me Rambans and Rashlas, which are true, but not Tosos. So how does that work? So for example, Tosos and Bava Kama ask this question on himself. Right? Tosos and Bava Kama, the big Tosos about this Inyan, ask that Kash on himself. And he says that behind the chesed of Abatim, Gavihanu Izoch, Chushul Ardod, Yachul Lishna, they demand Migu Shecholom Alekuchim B'yadi. There's a similar one in the second paragraph of Ksubas. He says, Lo dami l'midi de kfira, delich for vade in a meyiz, midi de yodabe chavre, v'hani gohasam l'midi de kfira nidhu. You only can't be made as lichbar if the other guy knows the truth. But this isn't kfira. Now, what exactly does he mean? So, for example, right, Tosos in Baba Kama says, Adamei is lichbar. Avol yochel leha is lomar lakuach. What does Tosus mean by that? It's not 100% clear what he means, but the Shach explains that it's not that, he has to redefine a little, it's not that I don't have ha'aza to lie to your face. No, I don't have ha'aza to deny to your face something that happened between us. I don't have ha'aza to deny something to your face. But to make up something, I do have ha'aza. To deny something, that I don't have ha'aza. Why? Because if we had a relationship and you trusted me, then I can't lie to your face. Right? So for example, to say you never let me money, you let me money. If we had a relationship, you trusted me, lichpor means to betray trust. I can't betray your trust to your face. That's me with the ha'atzah. But in the case of the Izim, there was never trust between us. We never had any relationship. I never met you until your goats came in and ate my peeled barley. Therefore, I would have ha'atzah to lie to your face. What he's basically saying is, anyone can have enough gall to lie to your face. They just don't have enough gall to betray your trust. And therefore, since there was no trust in this case, because you never gave me anything, that's not called ha'aza. What? No, Rashi says, I don't have chutzpah to lie to you if you did me a favor. Tosa says, not enough of a favor. I don't have chutzpah to lie to you if you trusted me. Now, you can trust me without doing me a favor. For example, let's say you say, can you watch my computer? I'm doing you a favor, but you're still trusting me. Right? That's the difference between Tosas and Rashi. Right? If you say, can I watch your computer? Tosas would say, that's how other to deny it now, because you trusted me. Even though you didn't do me a favor, I'm right, I did you a favor. So, yeah.
Where do we see trust in Tosas? That's the
Shabbos? This word, lichbar. That's what Tosas Baba Kama says. Tosas says, it's only ha'aza to betray trust. Since there was no trust between us in the case of the Easy, it's not ha'aza. And therefore, it gets out of the question.
You could probably think of a case that has trust that doesn't have denial, though. So, like,
and then that also wouldn't be ha'aza. It's only ha'aza if you trusted me and you know I'm lying and I lie to your face. That's the only thing that's ha'aza.
Why not define that as a tovea and nidba? In other words, where he's denying the claim, he doesn't have ha'aza to lie. Or where he's making the claim. See, you're easing damage to me. Then he has ha'aza.
No,
it doesn't have to be a function of trust.
You want to read Tosas differently. I'm perfectly fine with you reading. Meaning, I admit that all Tosas says is it's only ha'aza lichbar and easy, not lichbar. I'm giving one shot in Tosas, which I found in the Shach. You're giving another shot in Tosas. I have no fundamental problem with you giving another shot in Tosas. I just don't like your shot because what you're saying is that I don't have chutzpah to deny something, but I do have chutzpah to make up something. And remember, we're talking about lakuach. The Migo is like you said lakuach. But does that really make sense? I don't have chutzpah to deny something, but I have chutzpah to make up a story that you sold me Isim. It just doesn't make sense to me psychologically. Why do I have the chutzpah to make up a story that you know is lying? That's even more chutzpah. So it could be. I'm just not convinced. Okay. Yeah.
Can you say that it's a function of who the other bal din is? Meaning, if it's a bal chov, it's a person that he's kind of like subservient to, as opposed to a person who is mazik him. So you could be mazik against.
Yes, but Tosos thinks it's ha'aza even if it's not someone I'm subservient to. For example, if you give me your cattle wash, I can't say, then we don't say me who I couldn't deny you gave me the cow, because that would be ha'aza. I'm not subservient to you, I'm doing you a favor. So that's why I wouldn't go that. Now, there's just a lot of other technical ways that the various Bali Tosos and the Achronim get out of this. Basically, there's a lot of technical answers you could give. Another technical answer you could give is Tosfos and Baba Basra. Tosfos and Baba Basra says, an Okimta, he makes an Okimta, that the owner claims he saw that they didn't eat. What's he saying? He's saying he makes an okimta. It's not that I claim they ate my barley, and you say I wasn't there. I claim they ate my barley, and you say I was watching and they didn't eat your barley. How does that take away the problem? It's equal to us now for me to claim they ate my barley, because I'm lying to your face and you know, as for, meaning you are with your goats. If the owner is with his goats, then it's the same ha'aza to say I bought them, because I'm lying to his face and he knows I'm lying, and it's the same ha'aza to say they ate my barley, because I'm lying to his face and he knows I'm lying. And if it's the same ha'aza either way, that's not a migu de ha'aza. The two tainas are equal. The two tainas are equal, then of course that's a valid migu. The two tainas are equally comfortable to say. So I would have said the other taina. Right? It's only migu de ha'aza if now I'm saying something that's not ha'aza, and I could have said something that's ha'aza. That's not a valid migu. But if now I'm saying ha'aza and I could have said ha'aza, that's a valid migu. Another answer to the Tosfos Rush, a lot of these answers appear a few places in the Rishon Acharonim. The Tosfos Rush says that he makes an exception. An exception, what's the exception? Anyone who grabs property has a lot of haza. And therefore, he's allowed to make a migud ha'aza. Normal cases are where I'm claiming I don't pay you money. But over here, I grabbed your goats. Anyone who's willing to grab someone else's goats has a lot of ha'aza. And that person has so much ha'aza that they have the chutzpah to say anything. And therefore, they're allowed to use a migud ha'aza. Migud ha'aza, normally we don't say migud ha'aza because maybe you didn't have enough chutzpah to say the other one. What do you mean? Anyone who's the chutzpah to grab someone else's goats has the chutzpah to say any taina.
Can you say shot of the comments? Anytime I'm being coerced something through my other taina, that's when you're that's how it's relatively changed the action of tears, but actually fact. In both scenarios that he's giving, he does own the goats, or he's the right to the goats. Well, the other example he gives by the Sada, in both scenarios, I own the money, I own what the history is. The case of Mother Mixas, I'm denying more.
And that's the ketosis. That's the ketosis. The only problem with the ketosis is that the ketosis says it's only ha'aza. Like to be kofar kol and to get more, to take more money from you, but to take the same amount of money, that's not kol ha'aza. The problem is that doesn't work so well for Tosos and Shavuos HaShomerim, because Tosos thinks, he doesn't say in our Tosos, but the problem is Tosos ends up having to say, that depends. Then Tosos can say that Shavuos HaShomerim is a migud ha'aza, right? Nensu midi dehanzarti. Tosos can't call because that's the same amount of money. So that gets a little tricky. You'd have to say there's a different reason we don't say Nensu is Neman Miguda Chazarti because of Chash Bididami. Okay, you restrict yourself, but that is a Ktos. So granted that the Ktos has some kashas against him, but the Ktos says that it's only called Ha'aza, and he does think that's what Tosin Baba Kama means by Lichbar. It's only called Ha'aza to deny more money. It's only ha'aza in like modem mixes up to kofar kol, because modem mixes I'm taking 50, kofar kol I'm asking for 100. It's only ha'aza to ask for more money. But if it's the same amount of money, either way, that's a called miyud ha'aza. Alright, fine, you know, we can have a list, I'm sure you can find some others in the more modern acronym, a list of reasons that Tosin get out of this, and Tosos can say, you know what, really, I stick with my position, migu da'aza is the law I'm reading, and I'm just going to make some technicalities and explain how the case is easy, that's not migu da'aza. And our case is migu da'aza. That's one approach. The other approach is the Ramban, Rashba, and the Ritva. What do the Ramban, Rashba, and the Ritva say? They say, we like the idea of migu da'aza, the law I'm reading. But what about that Gemara of the Hanhu Izi? So what do they say, Sam? Exactly. They say, now interesting, this is like a shura between Tosos and the Rambam reverse, right? They say that Omrin Migu de Ha'aza Liftor Mimamon, but not Liftor Mishua. That's what they say. They say, you know what? Tosos is right that they read our Gemara like Tosos. Rabba's question is, why don't you say Migo? The answer is, you don't say Migo because it's Ha'aza. What about the Hanu Izi and the case on Ksubis Yudches and the Sada is a similar case, right, where I say it was your father's Sada and I bought it from him. Migo, I could have said, it was never your father's Sada. That's Azav, and I say it was your father's son, and I bought it from him. You don't know that I'm lying. If I said it was never your father's son, then you know that I'm lying. Because you know it was your father's son. So he said, they went by the rest of him saying, no problem. They say, all the sugis where you don't say migo to Azav are about Shua. All the sugis where you do say migo to Azav are about Mamam. Very passionate. It's a combination of Tosas and the Rambam. The Rambam says, we don't care about Haza, you just never say Shua's to Patu, Amigo to Patu from Shua. Tosas says, I don't care about the difference between Shua and Mamo, you never say Amigo to Haza. They say, let's have our cake and eat it too. You, right, they're the most, I don't know, Makel or Macher. They say the most Migo is the most Makel on Migo. You can say any Migo to get out of money. To get out of Shua, you have to have a good Migo, not a Migo to Haza. You can't say Migo to Haza to get out of Shua. And this is the Rambam, Rashba. And the Ritva, they say, Ein Omrim Migu Deha'aza Liftor Mishua. These are the three basic shitos in the Sugya. Okay, these are the three basic shitos in the Sugya. Tosos doesn't know if Migu Deha'aza, and he has Kashas Rando easy, but he can defend himself with some Dachuk Shatim, or not some Dachuk, use of judgment. The Rambam, the Rigash say there's no such thing as a migu to patri from a shua. Nowhere in Shas did it ever say a migu to patri anyone from a shua. That also is kashas. Won't get to that yet. And the Rambam and Rashi and Ritva say a combination. Now, what's shot in this combination of Rambam and Rashi and Ritva? Why would a migu to other be good enough to patri from mother, not to patri from shua? So maybe to answer that question, we have to get into. Really, you have to start from both sides, but let's at least start from one. The more you so does the question of what is the basis of the machlokas about Migu Deha'aza? What is the basis of this machlokas? Let's analyze a little, lumbus. What is the basis of this machlokas? What is the yesod ha-machlokas between Tosos and the Rimigash and the Rambam about Migu Deha'aza? What's the basis of the machlokas about Migu Deha'aza? So, all right, what might you think? Why does Tosas think that Migu Deha'aza is not a valid Migu? Tosas seems to have a good point. Let's review for a second. The whole point of Migu is I must be telling the truth, because if I was lying, I would have said the other time. Over here, right, it's a proof. I must be telling the truth. If I was lying, I would have said the other time. But over here, there's no proof I'm telling the truth. Maybe I'm a liar, I just couldn't say the other time, because I didn't have enough Ha'aza. So Tosas seems to make sense. Okay, what does the Rambam think? What's the machlokas between them? Okay. Is that the only way? Or is there a more balabatish way? That's obviously the most interesting way. Yeah, so it could be the argument about psychology, right? The argument about psychology, where they draw the line in terms of how much psychological proof we need. I think there are two ways to understand the Yesod HaMachlokas. I know one is very lumbish, one is not very lumbish, because they're both possible. That's a fascinating epistemological question. You know, is it true that the lumbish possibility is always automatically correct? But we don't get into that now. Number one, they could be arguing about psychology. What does Tosos think? Tosos thinks that a liar can't be Meis. Even a liar can't be Meis. Obviously sometimes you can, but at least sometimes you can't, right? Even a liar sometimes can't be Meis. Right, so even if I'm lying, I still might not say the other taina because I don't have enough chutzpah. And what does the Rambam and the Rimigash say? They say no. A liar can be Meis meaning, if someone's lying, then they have no scruples. Not about moral scruples. We're talking here about like social scruples, right? The Tosas thinks, a guy might be a liar. He's not very ethical. He doesn't have moral scruples. He's not really worried about Ayin Rovos and Shemas upon a Sefer Zivin of Tavim. But he still has social scruples that there's a limit to what he can say to your face. The Rambam says, no, if the guy's a real liar, then he can do anything. He has the chutzpah to say anything. We're talking about liars, right? The whole point is we're closing for liars. We're not talking about nice people. Once a guy's a bad person who's lying in Beis Din, bad people have no social scruples and they can say anything to your face. Right? This is a machlokas nowadays, right? Yes, someone. Say, oh, this guy can't be lying because so obviously he looked me in the face and you could tell that he was being honest. And someone else say, what do you mean? He's a liar? He's a good liar. He knows how to do anything. He can look you in the face and say anything. And once someone's a liar, then they're muffed up from normal human interactions. Okay, so that could be the machlokas. Machlokas in psychology. I see we have a psychologist raising his hand. You want to be about Korea?
No, I think the argument could be that we know there are different categories of people. There are some people who will lie only when they know you don't know, and other people who will lie and contradict the facts that you know directly. There are government leaders who do the same thing. They'll say things they know are not true, and they'll just say them sound like they believe it. So the question is, like, what percentage of people...
Correct. That's always true. Meaning, whenever you have a machlokas in, right, it's makubal in the yeshivish velt nowadays, based on what is almost written in a couple of Rishonim, that there's no machlokas in Metzias, every machlokas is in Din. There's machlokas in Metzias all over Shas. So you say, every machlokas in Metzias is really machlokas in Din. They both agree that it happens, like, 3% of the time. They just argue whether that 3% is enough to... be a proof halachically or not. So obviously you could say the argument in Metzias psychology. Tosafot says maybe he's a liar, but he can't be meyus. The Rambam says a liar can always be meyus. Right? That's actually a good way to put it. A liar can always be meyus. No matter what. Liars have no limits. Or you could say, if you want to be more yeshivish and say there's no such thing as machlokas in psychology, you could say that, no, they both agree that, like, most liars can't be mayas, but some liars can be mayas, and then Nigo ends up to be like an almost proof, and they're arguing about the rules of Choshen Mishpat. If you have a proof that's almost 100%, is that good enough or not? And a Hanami. Okay, but it could also be the argument. Lomashena, that doesn't matter right now. Yeah.
How can we explain around like that this would in turn make him more believable? And it would make us want to believe his Tanya even more. We call him a liar. We really believe you're a liar.
No, because it's like there, and then he could more, no, because it's like this. He could be a truth teller, or he could be a liar. Right? For the round, if he was a liar, he would have infinite ha'azah. Right? If he would have infinite ha'azah, then he could have said the better Tanya. And if he could have said the better taina, then he should have said the better taina. Now, you ever heard of reductio ad absurdum? Oh, but he didn't say the better taina. So therefore, this isn't true, so this isn't true, so this isn't true, so this isn't true. So the only possibility left is that he's a truth teller. That's how reductio ad absurdum works. You analyze the liar side of things, and if you come to, but... that's not what happened. He didn't say the better taina. So once the chain ends up not true, you have to erase this whole possibility, and by process of elimination, he's a truth teller. That's how reductio ad absurdum works. You analyze the thing that's not true, and you prove that it can't be, and then you're left with the other side. Exactly. The Rambam makes liars worse. By making liars worse, he then ends up with reductio ad absurdum. He can't be a liar. Therefore, he must be a truth teller. That's how ego works. So it's not... It's only seemingly ironic. The Rambam makes liars worse, therefore he's more likely to believe people. Yeah, because he makes liars worse, he thinks that he can identify how liars act by the taina they give. And if they don't give the lying taina, then he knows they're a truth teller. Okay, now that is... okay, so far we haven't said anything. The other possibility, of course, is that they're arguing about the lundis of Migo. And here you have the very, very famous Hakira of Rabbi Elchanan. I always wonder what people thought before Rabbi Elchanan. Meaning, did people never heard of this idea until Rabbi Elchanan, and then he came and was mechadish it? Or no, they just didn't put it together as neatly and package it, with as many nafkamin as he did. So I don't know. There aren't that many people left from before Rabbi Elchanan to ask. I only even ever met one fellow who met Rabbi Elchanan my whole life, and he was an Amar Tzgav. So he told me, I remember this rabbi, Elchanan Wasserman. He came in to schnorr for his yeshiva. So I said, no, you didn't understand.
He understood very well, that's what he was doing.
Yeah, but that's not his mahos. Everyone, all the great gedolim from Europe came to America to raise money, just like nowadays. Okay, so let's get back to Rabbi Elchanan. Rabbi Elchanan has the following Chakira in Migo. Because he finds a few things. Oh, hold on, I brought some papers here. So I have a volunteer. It was a very, very hard job, intellectually challenging. Okay. Give it out. That's the easy part. He points out there's a few shitas that we find in Migo that don't make any sense. Right? Now, he says something which is a very big chiddush. To say a chiddush, like, he has to have a good reason for it. Not just stam because he needs to give shiur the next day. But he does. If you look, for example, on this page, is that okay? There are only five things, so even though they're not numbered, you should be able to handle it. Tosfos Maseches Ksuba says, Mod Mishtar Shekosmi in Sarf L'Kaimel. This will come up a little later in our Maseches. And Dav Zayin. Right, there's a shita that if I'm Mod Mishtar, you come with a shtar. Right? You come with a shtar that owe you $100. Right? And what do I say? I say, I admit that it's authentic, but I paid. So one shita is the machlokes Rav Meir and Chachamim, Tzarich L'Kaimo. I'm neman to say parati migo mezuyef. I could have claimed it was forged. Therefore, you have to authenticate the signatures to take away my migo, and then you'll win. But the other shita is Moshe Shach because my ain't Tzarich L'Kaimo. Even though I have a migo, parati migo de mezuyef. Right now, I'm saying it's a true star, but I paid. I could have said it's a forged star. No authentication necessary. I lose. My migo doesn't work. I can't say that's what it means. Modem Shah Chakasma in Sarah Lakaimo means you can't say parati migo de mezuyef. Now all the Rishonim wonder, why can't I say parati? Why can I say I paid migo? I could have said it was a forged star. So, says Tosfos Tomer, my time alone hem of migo de boyomer mezuyef. V'yeish lomar, first he gives a technical answer. Shama yare lo velom mezuyef pen yachishu v'leka migo. It's parallel to migo de ha'aza. I mean, I wouldn't say mezuyef. I don't want to say, even a lawyer wouldn't say mezuyef. Because he's afraid of being disproven, because when they authenticate the signatures, he'll look bad. Fine, that is not exciting. Upirish hakunches makom acher, the time of mishum the dvar Torah in tzarich kiyum, the eid machsunos shtar nasu mishnechu yidizum ebez, the dvar abanu tzarichu kiyum, kitan mezuyifu, while the shtar time is known for ruhu lo tzarichu kiyum, v'chein nirah l'ri. Okay, the ri and the rashi of makom acher, I'm not sure where the makom acher is, but the ri and rashi say, why can't I say parati, migo, de mezuyef? Really, the phrase migo di by time mezuyef. But we'll just abbreviate it. Why can't I say parati migo mezuyef? He says, because look, mezuyef's not a taina da oraisa. Migo oraisa, I can't claim a shtar is forged. Anyone ever learned gittin? We're familiar with the principle of Eidmach Sumin al Star, Kvishnech, which is a Vezin dummy. Maybe we're familiar with all the lumps of Chaim, tremendous tradition. If not, we'll get to it, Mirza Hashem, at the end of our parak, when it talks about Shtaros and Ziyuf and Kiyum. Kiyum, by the way, means notarizing, authenticating the signatures. Right? So, what does it say? I can't have Parat. Why? Because Kiyum Shtaros Durabon. Mean to arise to every Shtar is authentic, automatically. Only me Durabon and I can tie him a Zuyuf and tell you to authenticate the Shtar. And since that's only the Tikkun Rabbanon, only if I say it's mezuyef, you have to authenticate the shtar. But I can't like build a migo on it. Because it's only in the Tikkun Rabbanon. That's what Rashi and the Ri say. What do Rashi and the Ri say? Parati migo de mezuyef. Right, that mezuyef is only a taina al pi Tikkun Rabbanon. Therefore, I can't say parati migo mezuyef. Now, let me ask you a very simple question. Not Baruch Hanan, right? This is Baruch Hanan's best proof. He says, hold on a second. If Migo is a psychological principle, I must be telling the truth, because if I was lying, I would have said the other Taina. Does it make any difference whether the other Taina is a Takana Darabanan or is a Daraisa Taina? If it's a matter of figuring out whether I'm telling the truth or lying based on whether I would have said the other Taina, does my psychology of which Taina I would pick take into account whether that's a taina is Darabanan or Daraisa? No. He says, who cares if the gun is Darabanan? The Migo still stands. If I was lying, I would have said mezuyef. Right? Why does the fact that the gun is Darabanan take away my Migo? Migo isn't based on really using that taina. Migo is based on proving that I'm telling the truth. What's the proof here? Proof is very simple. Either I'm a truth teller or I'm a liar. If I'm a liar, I would have said mezuyef. But it's not true I didn't say mezuyef. That proves I'm not a liar. Does it make any difference whether Mazuyev is a Tekunin or a Bumin or a Daraisa? No, if I was a lawyer, I would have said it. Tekunin and Daraisa have no effect on this. So Rav Chanan says, what is Rashi and Arim talking about? They make absolutely no sense from a psychological perspective. What they're talking about is like the formal power of Tainus Mazuyev. Is Mazuyev a real Taina? Or does it just look like a Taina and it's really just a Tekunin or a Bumin? Who cares? If I was a lawyer, I would have said Mazuyev. So, since I didn't say Mazuyev, contrapositively, that, or reductive observant, that proves I'm not a liar, so I'm a truth teller. So what does Rav Chanan say? It must be that Rashi and the Ri here. Again, this isn't Rashi and the Ri necessarily objectively, because it's only within the mind of Modi B'Shtar Shekosvo, of Modi B'Shtar Shekosvo in Sarsal Kaimo. But it must be that they hold there's a different part of Migo. Must be Migo is not about trying to analyze psychologically whether I'm telling the truth or lying. Migo is about the power of the Taina I could have said. And what they're saying is, you can't use a Migo de Mezuyah, because that's not a powerful Taina. That's only it's a Kanadar button that's Chal if you use it. It's not really an intrinsically powerful Taina. And that's where we get the phrase called Koach HaTaina, or Zuchus HaTaina, in this Chakira about Migo. So what's his famous Chakira about Migo? The famous Chakira about Migo is it a psychological beaver? Right? We're trying to analyze my psychology to see if I'm telling the truth or lying. In which case, this Ri and Rashi don't make sense. Or, again, they might make sense depending on how they paskin, at least not in the Mandar or Moshe Tarshish Kosel, in Sarf Lekaimel. How do we paskin? I think we don't paskin like that, Mandar.
In the end, when he says that, you know, there's this side to do this and that side to do that, is he rejecting that it's psychological bureau, or is he saying that there are two elements?
We'll come back to that in a moment. So, or, Koach HaTaina, what does Koach HaTaina means? It means, here we're saying, there's a proof that I'm not a liar. Why? Because if I was a liar, I would have said the other Taina. Or no, it's not a psychological insight that I'm not a liar. We don't have such strong psychological sheathes about people. You can't just because the guy throws that one statement in bed, then you can't necessarily deduce why he said that statement and whether he's honest or a liar. There are many reasons why he could have said the statement he said. I know this is saying, it's not speaking to Josh. Right, maybe there are other reasons. Who knows if we can even diet whether you're a liar or truth teller just because he made Taina X instead of Taina Y. Maybe he didn't make Taina Y because he's not a liar. Maybe he just didn't think of Taina Y. Maybe he was just somehow out of his mouth came Taina X. Who knows? We don't have so much psychological beaver. I think nowadays, if you would go to a forensic psychologist and ask him, can you really prove anything from the fact that a guy picked Taina X instead of Taina Y in Bezdin? They would say, nah, there could be so many reasons why he has emotional baggage, why he picked Taina X, not Taina Y. Yeah, it's not a very good proof. Rather, it's a formal din. Here, it's not a practical din. It's a formal din. What does a formal din mean? Formal din means that he has a winning position, right? Because he could have said a winning taina. Since he has a winning position, he has the power of that position. Since he has the winning position, he has...
It's mere existence.
Exactly, it's mere existence. He has a winning position, so he has the koach nemanus of that position. Meaning, before anyone opens their mouth, what do we say? Right? Imagine you come to me for advice. I'm a lawyer, you come to me for advice. What do I say? I say, look, you're going to Bezdin, the other guy's going to Bezdin. You're each going to say your best taina. Let's figure out who's going to win and then decide what to do, right? That's what every lawyer would do. You go to a lawyer and say, what should I do in this situation? He thinks. He says, well, if you go to court, your best taina is X, his best taina is Y, and let's figure out who will win, and then let's strategize based on that. If you would win, we'll give you one strategy. If he would win, I'll give you another strategy. Right? So maybe that's how it works. If you're coming to Bezdin, before you open your mouth, you won. You have the winning taina. Now, in the end, you chose not to say the winning taina. But you had the winning taina. You won in Bezdin. When you win in Bezdin, when you should have won in Bezdin, you automatically have the koach of that taina. Why do you automatically have the koach of that taina?
Question on.
Yeah.
Why would Tainus Derbanan
So hold that thought for a second. So the why you automatically the power, so that Roel Cunning doesn't explain. But the I think you could explain in a perhaps a this is not a Lundish explanation, it's more of a social explanation. You could explain that maybe there's the din that the Chachamim made, or even a din that the Torah made, based on the idea that we don't want to create a system where everyone has to get the slickest lawyer and lie as much as they can. Right? We don't want a system like they have nowadays. Nowadays, you go to secular court, right? And what happens? Everyone has to get a lawyer to lie the best they can. Like, it's pashut that everyone has to lie. Why does everyone have to lie? Because they want to say their best kindness. So what does Allah say? No. We don't want, right, really, you're not supposed to have lawyers in Bezin. Any lawyers here? Don't be offended. Really, you're not supposed to have lawyers in Bezin. It's a big sugya, as we know, in the beginning of the fourth parak of Shavuos and other places about, what do they call them, antlers. I don't know what language that is. Although there's a machlokes for showing him exactly what orchei deyanim means, but one pshat is don't be lawyers, although that's from deyanim, so it's not much of a proof. But most Rishonim assume you're not supposed to have lawyers, you're not supposed to have people advising you how to be slick and how to lie. Bezin is supposed to be a process of everyone honestly coming for the deyanim and trying to figure out what's the best way to deal with the situation. So perhaps that would explain why we have the koach and amandas, meaning it takes away incentive to lie. Right? Again, this is assuming you would say Migo in that type of case. It takes away incentive to lie. Because, say you could lie, there's no need to lie. You have the power, you have the koach of your best taina anyway. So therefore, it makes a more truthful process. Could be, if you want to say in a more Lundish way, that you could say, this is a little, it could be if you want to say in a slightly more Lundish way, you could taina that, if you recall, we discussed the Gemara in Kiddush Nafai and Gibel, right? With the Chaya, with the Baal Mekach, and with the Dayan, etc. Sometimes there's such thing in the Torah that a Baal Dover has Nemanus. If someone's really has Bailus over something, something has control over something, they have more Nemanus. We find the Chaya has Nemanus over who's born first because she's in charge. We find Neid Echad Bisur, and this is a big Hakira, which is, I think it's explicit in the Rush in the Mordechai in the fifth parak of Gittin, that if something's in my hands to make Asur or Mutter, then I'm Nemun to say whether it's Asur or Mutter, because I'm the Biden. If someone's in charge of something, they have no winning money. So it could be, once I have the winning Taina, I have finals over this case. I'm the Baldover here over this case, because I could already win. Before he walked into court, I was the winner. Therefore, that Bailus, or Muchzokus perhaps, gives me more Nemunis. So you can explain this in different ways. All right? Why? Roel Cunning doesn't ask why. You could say it's a matter of tikkun olam. It makes for a bezin system based on truth, not based on falsehood. You could say it's a matter of nemanus of bailim, right? That, what's the point? That if I could already win the case, that I'm the baldover here. This is my case. I'm shalit on this case. Whoever's in charge is more nemanus. You could say this is the stipler goes this way, that he's trying to limit it. You could say it's a type of muhzakos, right? That since I could have already won the case, that I'm the mossad here, and you have to prove me wrong, absolutely. It's not enough to bring regular proofs. You have to bring totally, you have to totally prove that I'm lying in order to prove me wrong. So you can explain it in different ways, but the basic point is that it's not a matter of psychological insight. It's a matter of that formally you have the nemanus that you would have had. You have the koach of what you could have said. And therefore, one second, how does this explain Rashi and the Ri? This explains Rashi and the Ri beautifully. What are Rashi and the Ri saying? Why can't you have a Migo of Mezuyaf? Saying, Mezuyaf's not a winning Taina. You think Mezuyaf is a winning Taina? No, you're mistaken. Mezuyaf is not a winning Taina in Bezdin. Mezuyaf is a losing Taina in Bezdin. Aiden Shech, Subhan al Shtak, Vishnech, which is a Bezdin dummy. Mezuyaf is a losing Taina. Just what? Mezuyaf is a losing taina, but the Rabbana made a takana that if you say it, the other guy has to authenticate the signatures. But not because you really win the court case. Really, you lost the court case, but the Rabbana made a takana that required him to authenticate the signatures. Therefore, it's really a losing taina. It really doesn't have koach as a taina. It just triggers a certain takana to Rabbana. Okay, that means you're not the winner of this case. Again, practically, bottom line, you could have won the case. But not because you really had the koach to win the case. You didn't have a winning taina. You had a losing taina. You just had a losing taina. The rabbanan had some rachmanas and required the guy to authenticate the signatures. But you still had a losing taina. And therefore, since you had a losing taina, even though because of the rachmanas, this takana drabbanan, it would have stalled a little and you would have walked out and not had to pay yet. But since fundamentally it's a losing taina, we don't care practically what would have happened. We care whether you were the had the winning taina or you didn't. And here you had a losing taina, just a losing taina that through a takana drabbanan side point would have enabled you to walk out without paying today until we authenticated the signatures.
Can you explain why that's called taina?
What?
Why is it not called taina?
It's not called a taina because that's what he means. The rabbanan could have made a takana, said hefker bez and hefker, we're making a takana that from now on shtaris are assumed to be forged until they're authenticated, right? And mezuyah for the winning taina. The rabbanan could have done that. But the Rashi and Rea assume the Rabbanan didn't do that. The way the Rabbanan made their takana is they said, really mezuyah for the losing taina. They didn't want to overturn the principle that all signatures are authentic, that Eidim Achsumna al Ashtar, which is Nechmer, just Beth and Dummy. Maybe even they couldn't have, for lumdish reasons. The way they made the takana is they said, really mezuyah for the losing taina, but we make a takana the Rabbanan Kiyam Shtaros, that even though it's a losing taina, we require the other guy to be Mekayim the signatures. And if he can't be Mekayim the signatures, then he can't collect till he's Mekayim the signatures. But not because he lost the case. Meaning not because he's wrong until he's Mekayim the signatures. That's what he's saying. There are but a word mitaking that he's, we don't believe him until he's Mekayim the signatures. We do believe him even without being Mekayim the signatures. It's just that there's an eco to his collection. We don't let him take the money until he's Mekayim the signatures. But it's not that we don't believe him. We do believe him. We just make a takana that he needs to do something before he can collect. But that's a side problem. It's not that he lost the case. Meaning, if you would ask the Chacham when they made their takana, so if you have a shtar and I say it's forged and you don't authenticate the signatures, who do we believe? The Rabbanan in their takana said, we believe that it's a good shtar. You just still can't collect till you authenticate the signatures. That's the nature of our takana. The takana is kiyum shtaros. Takana is you have a chos gavra of kiyum shtaros if you want to collect. But really, we do believe it. Really, we do believe the shtar. I know that's a big assumption. Right? That's a chiddush.
Right.
But it's not such a crazy chiddush. For reasons which you can't get into now until we learn Rosh Hashanah. So,
as a possible reason for a Hanan, is there any stuff to say that maybe we connect this to Tanimon? That's another situation where, you know, the Beit Din goes out of their way to give somebody the automatic koach of their best claim, completely and totally irrespective of what claim they actually did or didn't make.
Well, that's the case. They don't make a claim. There's a concept called tanina. I mean, if someone doesn't know how to claim, Bezin claims the best claim for them.
That's what I'm saying.
So that could be, that, according to Rochanan, that could be connected, right? If someone doesn't claim, we give them their best claim. Meaning, if someone doesn't claim in a case where we think that it would be appropriate, you know, all else being equal, give them their best claim. And likewise, if someone does claim, we also give them the koach of their best claim. We can't change
it.
Yeah, could very well be. Yeah.
Just like, how far do we take this whole, it's only eco in terms of your ability to win? Like, let's say you have a, I don't know, is it possible, like a certain situation like, you know, trey betray on the key of Sharos. It's like, how do you treat those edom of who are trying to be behind the shark?
Okay, perhaps this would be relevant in a Hanan. Perhaps this could have enough kaminas. So we want them to say, now, there are a number of nafkaminas that Rochanan says to this chakira. One nafkamina he says is, what about migu from a takana drabbanan? So this is Rashi and the Re. We don't say migu, not because your taina is drabbanan. Because it's not even a real winning taina of drabbanan. It's only a side takana. Right? Of course, here you would say, like the Mechora, the other Rishonim, I mean, we never know why they disagree with Rashi and the Re, right? So here you would say, unlike Rashi and the Re, you still say Migu. Why? Because if we're analyzing your psychology, who cares about the lumdus? Who cares what a bunch of guys and rabbis in a base medrash say is a lumdish, chiddish, and brisker terminology about Kiyum Shtaros? Lamaisa, if you were a liar, you would have said Mizuyath. Another great example he has is what's called Migu Lechatzi Taina. What if I Taina, this is his example, this is just for illustration. What if I kind of 200, and I have amigo, I could have been them at about 100. So would you say, I kind of 200, but I could have set a winning kind of for 100. Would you say that there's a psychological proof that, would you say there's a psychological proof that I must be telling the truth? Because if I was a liar, I would have said the other kind of for 100. No, maybe I'm a liar and I run 200. Right? Clearly, you can't say migu lachatzi taina if you're talking about psychological beerer. Right? Meaning, can you say, since I could have had a winning taina for 100, believe me about 100, not the other 100? No, you can't believe half my statement. Either I'm a truth teller or a liar. If you look at my psychology, you can't believe me halfway. Either you believe me or you don't believe me. Right? But what do we see? Interesting, she the Shildah Gibor in the Mishnah Melech here at the bottom of the page about how Omer Zebani. This is a great one. If someone says someone's dying and they don't want their wife to have to do chalitza, so they say, I have kids. Right? They say, I have kids. Say, so you guys only know me, you know, since I'm 16. But really, when I was 14, I was married to another woman in Medina Sayyam and I have a kid there, or whatever the case may be. You know, I'm just trying to clean it up. So what if the guy says he has kids? So is he Neman? Says, yes, he's Neman, Migu. Of Gerushin. He could have divorced his wife and popped her from Chalitza. Therefore, since he could have right, he could have written her a get and popped her from Chalitza. We assume he's going to live long enough to write a get, right? He's not going to die in 30 seconds. He has another 10 minutes.
That's not a time.
Okay, good. He is amigo. Okay, I hear that. He is amigo of, he could have given a get. I'll come back to that. Bleenetter. So therefore, he's Nema to say he has kids. So says the Shilta Giborim. If you look at the sort of the middle here, there's where it says Dafrishon and Gimel parentheses, three words before the Matzatz about Gos Rif. Hagos Rif is what we call Shilta Giborim, right? By Rabbi Yeshua Boaz, who also wrote the Torah Orin, the Masoros Hashas, and the Mishnat, and other things. Hagos Rif Shekasav Zelashono. Now, this isn't himself. This is the part that's called Lashon Riaz. This is the Riaz. Mor is a Kenya Rav, quoting his grandfather Tosos Rid. So it's really a Tosos Rid. Kasav. Says, hold on a sec. Migui could have divorced her, then she could have married any Yisrael. So he's Nema to say he has kids, and she can marry a Yisrael. Now what does this mean? He says he has kids. Do we believe that he has kids or not? He says he has kids. She's an Almana Pater from Yibam and Chalitza. Do we believe in his kids? The answer is, if she wants to marry Yisrael, we believe him. If she wants to marry a Kohen, then we don't believe him. That's very strange. Like, either he's telling the truth, or he's not telling the truth, right? I mean, if we think he's telling the truth, he's telling the truth. If we think he's lying, he's lying. We can't possibly think that he's telling the truth for Yisraelim who come around after he dies, and lying for Kohanim who come around after he dies. So clearly this, Shilta Giborim, the Tosos Rid, right? It's called the Shilta Giborim, but it's really the Tosos Rid, because you know, half the Shilta Giborim is Lashon Riaz, he's just quoting the Lashon Riaz, and the Riaz is the grandson of the Tosos Rid, and when he quotes Mem Zayin Hey, that means Zakein, Zakein is a grandfather. That means he's quoting the Tosos Rid. Riaz is just Rabbi Shaya Achron, as opposed to Tosos Rid, is the first Rabbi Shaya. So the Shilta Giborim, quoting the Rid, says that the Migu makes him Neman on half his taina. There are many other examples of this in Shas as well. The Migu makes a Neman half his taina. Now hold on a second. If it's a matter of proving his psychology, what he's thinking, then either he's telling the truth or he's lying. We can't believe half his taina, not the other half. We can't believe he has kids. If we're really thinking about his psychology, how can it be that we think he's honestly telling us he has kids, but only for Yisrael, not for Kohanim? No, either he's honest or he's not. Right? So therefore, it's clear that Shilta Giborim is coming from a perspective of Koach HaTaina. And even though here it's not Koach HaTaina, Aaron will say, it's not that he could have had a taina that he divorced her. Well, the truth is he actually could have had a taina that he divorced her, perhaps. But the lashon is that he could have divorced her. But you'd still call that, maybe not Koach HaTaina, it's a Koach that in this shayla, he wants to claim that she is Muteris. He already had the winning taina. He already had the power in his hands. He was the bailim over her hetter, because he could have given her a get. Ah, but his koach hataina is only for Yisraelim, because giving her a get only amounts to Yisraelim. Therefore, it gives an nemunis for Yisraelim, not for Galani. And if you ask, well, hold on, is the guy honest or dishonest? The answer is, we're not analyzing whether he's honest or dishonest. We're analyzing whether Alpidin, formally, he has koach to be believed, or he doesn't have koach to be believed. The answer is, he has koach to be believed for Yisraelim, not for Kohanim. Of course, if you look at it from a psychological viewer perspective, then what you have to say is a principle of many Rishonim, which is Migu Lechatzi Taina Lo Amina. No, if you only have Amigo for half what you say, then that's not Amigo. Or, what the Ramban says here, he says, you know what? It depends. If you have Amigo for the Iker thing of what you're saying, basically you either have to say you're not Neman on anything, or you're Neman on everything. Why are you Neman on everything? Because look, the Iker is you just wanted a matra to marry someone. So therefore, we think you're telling the truth about the Iker thing you're saying. Once you're telling the truth, then we also accept everything you're saying. So either Migul Chatzi Taina Lo Amrina, or sometimes we'll believe your whole Taina if it's clear you're not lying. Basically, we'll have to analyze the psychology. Either we'll say, no, maybe you are a liar. You just wanted to claim a bigger taina, and therefore we don't believe you at all. Or we'll say, you know what, you're a truth teller, like this guy in his deathbed. He's a truth teller. He wants to be matar. He wasn't even thinking of Kohanim. Just forget the Kohanim. He's a truth teller. Once he's a truth teller, then he'll be Neman for Kohanim as well, which is the Psak of the Ramban. And that's what most Rishonim say. Right? That's what a lot of Rishonim say.
Can you be Michalik in a situation where you're actually having a court case?
Well, I think that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says he's Neman even for Kohanim. Because the Ramban says he's just trying to make his point, and psychologically is telling the truth, so let's not, get into these details.
Right, no, I'm not saying anybody who says anything in this situation would have to understand ego in a different sense.
Why?
No, I'm saying that you just don't...
Why? No, this is like a court case for him. He wants to achieve a certain result. He wants to convince the world
that... But that's not on his plate. Nobody's coming to tell you, oh, by the way, your wife is about to... It's not like we're going to pass him right now whether he is his wife's going to tie him or not.
Sure we are. He's dying. That's all he's thinking about. It's just because you live nowadays, so you're not aware of this. In the old days, when everyone was dying, that's the first thing they thought about. It's a W-Dua.
Something you
were
in his case.
What?
Something you were in his case. Not being looked into a Kohen, but even if it's kind of not that much, she's an Amana and she could be
looked. No, she's a Yevamah Lashuk.
And is this her Grusha or...
That's a very fascinating question. She also a Kohen Alts Grusha or also a Kohen Alts Yevamah Lashuk. I think you'd say she's also a Kohen Alts Yevamah Lashuk. He has no koach nemunas to say he has kids for a Kohen. Therefore, for a Kohen, she's also Alts Yevamah Lashuk. For Yisrael, she's a Teres. Now, I know that's a funny kind of sock, but that's the Shulig Warren Paskins. Okay, I'll just throw out briefly some other nafkaminas of this Chakira that Rochanan mentions or that other people mention. Another example could be very similar to the Takana Drabanan. And he's like, what if you would have been Naman on a Taina, but it's a Chiddush? It's a Chiddush. It's a special Chiddush. Do you say, Ein Lechabo El Chiddusho, and you can't make a Migo from a Chiddush? So again, if Migo is psychological, then who cares about the lumdus? If you were lying, you would have said it. If Miku's koach ha'tayin, it could be that the koach ha'tayin is a chiddush, then ein l'chavo el chiddusho, you can't extend chiddushin. So you can also have a similar case of Migo mi'chiddush, where here you would say that you wouldn't say Migo because you can't extend a chiddush. A chiddush can't give you more koach than the case discussed. Over here, of course, you would say. Another example which is discussed by the Poskim, which is very fascinating, is an interesting one, which is what if you thought you had a winning taina, but you really didn't? I thought I had this other winning taina, but really, I didn't realize there are Eidim waiting in the next room who are going to surprise me and take away the winning taina. Is that a valid Migo or not? If it looked like a winning taina, but it really wasn't. So here, clearly, if it's a matter of koach ha'taina, then since I didn't really have a winning taina, I wouldn't say Migo. If it's a matter of psychology, then maybe we'd say, look, From all I knew, it was a winning taina. Therefore, if it was a liar, I would have said that it was a taina. Therefore, it proves that I am, that I'm not a liar. Yes, Aaron.
About the legal material. Even though Atana is formali, it's formali only in the mechanism, but it's not formali.
I understand what you're saying. That depends on
psychology.
Correct.
So it's also based on psychology, just that we skip the middle steps. So why would we say why would it make a difference? Just the question is whether he has to go through the tinus or we make the tinus for him.
Ask me again afterwards. Okay. Now this also might affect something we discussed earlier in the year. What about amigo mi mamon le mamon? Meaning, I have no winning tine in this case. But I could have said a winning taina about something else, right? I have no winning taina in the half of the tells we're arguing over. But I could have said a winning taina about different money. So, l'chora, now we saw there could be different ways to analyze that. Maybe it would be mamon l'mamon is like amigo da'aza. But l'chora, the simple shot would be, and this Aruch Hanan doesn't mention, is that if you're talking about koach ha'taina, then you can't say amigo mamon l'mamon. Just if we're arguing about a desk, the fact that I could have had a taina to get a chair from you is irrelevant to the style of the desk. In the desk, I didn't have a winning taina. Din Torah is separate. In this Din Torah, I don't have koach ha'taina. The fact that I could have gotten a different money from you is irrelevant. We're talking about this money. But if you're looking at psychology, then l'chora you should say migu mi mamon l'mamon aminan. Because if I was a liar, if I was really a liar, I would have just said the winning taina and taken any money I could get. So go back to the talis, right? What is the migu? What is the Mordechai answer? I'm not neman to say I want this half of the talis because I could have claimed that half of the talis migu mamon l'mamon aminan. What do you mean? From a psychological perspective, of course I should be known. If I was a liar, I would have said the whole talus is mine. Give me a break. Everyone knows if I was a liar, I would have said the whole talus is mine. But from a formal koach ha'taina perspective, you could say, no, you're not. If I say half the talus is mine and we're fighting over half the talus, you're not allowed to bring an amigo from the other half of the talus, because that's a different court case, and that's not what we're dealing with. Koach ha'taina only works if it's koach on this money, not if it's koach on other money. Let's bring this a little closer to home, both sides. Maybe we want to say that this is the Yesod of the Machlokas Rishonim about Migu Dehaza. Doesn't have to be. It could be they both agree that it's Birur, they're arguing about psychology. Could be they both agree it's Koch HaTaina. They're just arguing about whether that really counts the time you could have said if, you know, most people wouldn't have the chutzpah to say it. But it could be they're arguing about this Hakira. Maybe this is what they're arguing about when it comes to Migu Dehaza. Tosfos says, we don't say Migu Dehaza. Why? Because there's no psychological beaver. There's no psychological beaver. Even if you were a liar, you wouldn't have said Kofar Ako, because you didn't have the chutzpah. Therefore, there's no proof that you're telling the truth. But the Rambam and the Rimigash say, no, you're allowed to say Migu Dehaza. Why? We don't care what you would have been likely to do psychologically. We care, do you have the koach ha'taina or not? Do you have a winning taina in this case or not? Are you the winner in this case or not? The answer is yeah. I have the winning taina in this case. I might not be comfortable saying it, but I have the winning taina in this case, so I have the koach of the winning taina. So it could be that that's the yesod of the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam and the Rimigash. Let's just count this for a second. What's the case of Migu Dehaza? Let's imagine. Both makes this Migu of Kofar Akol. Right, or I say, again, without these excuses, I say they ate my barley, amigo, I could have said I bought them. Psychologically, is there any proof I'm telling the truth? No, maybe I'm a liar, I just didn't have the chutzpah to say the other lie. But in terms of koach ha'taina, do I have the koach to win this case? Sure, I have the koach to win this case. I could have said la koach and won the case. I have the upper hand in the case. Clearly I have the upper hand in the case. I could have said la koach and won. I could have said kofar kol and won. Clearly I have the upper hand. It might have taken chutzpah to use that upper hand, but I have the upper hand. So maybe the Rambam, the Rimigash, say, I have the upper hand, koach ha'taina. Tosfos says, no, you know, psychologically, there's no proof I'm telling the truth. I might just be a bashful liar. And therefore, it doesn't work. Now, Rabbi Chanan just takes one step further and says, hold on a second. maybe that's also the issue of Migu lift or Mishua. Of course, this gets into other Chakiras as well, but says Rav Elchanan, maybe, he doesn't say exactly this language, the Rambam and the Rimigash and the and versus Tosos are Lishitasam. Should Migu patter you from a Shvua? If Migu is proof that I'm telling the truth, do you think a proof that I'm telling the truth should patter me from a Shvua? What do you think? If I have proof that I'm telling the truth, Lachor, that should patter me from a Shvua, right? So we should say, if we have proof that I'm telling the truth, maybe it should patter me from a Shvua. Whoops. Sorry. But, now here, this is an assumption. But hold on a second. Let's say it's matter of Koach HaTaina. What does that mean? That means that, and here we get to other assumptions that we'll have to explicate, hopefully before 1245. Hold on, no promises. Says, what if it's Koach HaTaina? What does Koach HaTaina mean? Koach HaTaina means that since I could have won the case, right? Since I could have won the case, I have the Koach to win this case. My time is accepted, I win the case. Now, hold on a second, says Rav Elchanan. Let's go back to Shvua. What does it mean to be Chayiv a Shvua? It means I win the case, I just have to swear. Even someone who deserves to win the case still has to swear if they're Chayiv a Shvua. Shvua's not losing the case. Shvua's winning the case, but I have to clarify a little. I know that's an assumption. I know that's an assumption. But what does he say? Taking the shvua is called winning the case. Right? You sue me for $100. Bez and Paskins, I have to swear. What does that mean? It means I won. I get to keep the $100. I just have to clarify things a little to make everyone feel better. So what does he say? He says, Efsher she'eino poter mishvua. Why? Because it makes me win the case. But I still have to swear. Even people who win the case are chayav shvua. Being chayav shvua is called winning the case. If I lost the case, I'd have to give up the money. The fact that I'm chayav shvua means I won. All I have to do is swear, and I get off scot free. So it could be that koach hataina could be efshar. You could say no. Koach hataina means you win. That's it. Game's over. You could say no. Koach hataina means that I deserve to win this case. Yeah, but we're not discussing who wins the case. We're discussing whether I'm chayav shvua. I deserve the money. And if not, you deserve the money. You get the money. We're just telling you that you have to swear. We never said you lost the case. We never said you don't get the money. You won the case. You keep your money. We're just asking you to swear. So what will the Rambam and Rimigash say? They'll say l'shitasam, perhaps. No, migo means, since I could have won the case, I win the case. And if not, you win the case. We never told you you lost the case. But please swear for us. Swearing has nothing to do with winning or losing the case. Swearing is a different Indian. There's a different Indian called you have to swear. Why do you have to swear? Sometimes when we feel more comfortable if you swear. So we say you won the case. You have the koach hataina. But we feel more comfortable if you swore. And you say, well, I don't want to swear. I have a migu. Say, funny, the migu made you win the case. That has nothing to do with shvua. Obviously, I'm assuming it's a shvua. Nothing to do with the case.
You won't win the case.
Lav davka. That is a big chakira in the Rishonim. Shvua's daf bemalav and aleph. If I don't take the shvua, you're right. Practically, you're right. If I don't take the shvua, they take the money away from me. But it's not clear whether that's because I lost the case or whether that's because I'm in contempt of court by refusing to swear. And that's a big chakira that we're about to get into before 12:45. Lou Yitzir, I could slow down the clock. Now, that's the chakira that you're all familiar with if you saw this last Nesivus that was on the course. Now, says Rav Elchanan, now that I said this whole beautiful lambda, says Rav Elchanan, what's the pshat in the Rambam, in the Ramban Rashba and the Rashba, right, the Ramban Rashba, of course, what's the pshat in the Ramban and the Rashba, says Rav Elchanan, he says very beautifully, I can tell you pshat in the Ramban and the Rashba, he says,
but this time he's going back to saying that it's to Tzvei
Dinim. He's saying Beis Dinim, Tzvei Dinim. He's saying this way, you're waiting for Tzvei Dinim. He says both types of Migo are right. What do you mean both types of Migo are right? He says like this. Do you mind if I draw a chart? Here we have a migo de ha'aza, and here we have a migo de lav ha'aza. Here we have mamon, and here we liftor mi mamon, and here we have liftor mi shvua. He says, hold on a second. A migo that's not a migo de ha'aza has the power of which din? If it's a migo with no ha'aza, I really could have said the other taina. Any normal person could have said the other taina. That has a beamer. So here we say
it has both.
That it wins because of beamer. What about a migo de ha'aza? Migo de ha'aza doesn't have beamer, but it has koach ha'taina. So what do you say? Lift or mi mamon.
This really is both.
Lift or mi mamon, even a migo de ha'aza, there's no beamer. There's no psychological proof I'm telling the truth. I still have the koach my taina. The koach my taina can get me out of mamon. But a migo de ha'aza lift or mi shvua has neither din. There's no beamer that I'm telling the truth because maybe I'm a liar who can't be mayas. The koach taina is not going to help me because the koach taina makes you win the case. That doesn't have anything to do with being chayiv a shvua, if we take my answer to what Aaron said before. And therefore, he says through Tzvei Din, and we can understand the Rabban and the Rashba, that that most migos have at least one of the dinim, right? Every migo that's not ha'aza has the biur din. Anytime I want to get out of paying money, I have the koach ha'taina. But if all I'm trying to do is get out of a shvua, the koach ha'taina is irrelevant. We're not discussing the case, we're discussing the shvua. And it's a migo ha'aza, there's no biur, then I have neither din, and then I lose. And that's what he says of pshat in the Rabban and the Rashba. A one dish pshat based on Tzvei Dinim.
Why
do you need to deal with
both types of
migo and
not just
koach ha'taina? Because if it was just koach ha'taina, then even a migo de lav ha'aza shouldn't pot you from a shvua. So that's what Rochanan says, brother, about in the Rashba. For uyin hadvarin l'mishamra.
This only works if Rochanan is holding that really even in a migo de lav ha'aza, the guy still could make it.
Exactly. He has the koach to make it. Correct.
But
he formally could make it, but psychologically might have had an obstacle. That's exactly the point. Now, all I did was repeat this line to you in different words just now. Now, that's one way of understanding the Rabban and the Rashba. And that's the, you know, nice lumdish way from Rav Chanan, and very, very exceedingly attractive. But the question is that the only way to explain the Rabban and the Rashba. So, it could be that there are one or two other ways to explain the Rabban and the Rashba, not like Rav Chanan, not based on Tzvei Dinim. The Tzos has a different way of explaining the Rabban and the Rashba, and that is based on Machlokas, perhaps Rashi and Tosfos, that maybe you're familiar with. The issue that already came up, I think we saw the Tosfos on top of Gimel on the Beis, whether Choshed HaMamona, what's the Machlokas? Is Choshed HaShvua or not, right? That seems to be two different ways of reading exactly what the Maskana is on Daf Vava Min Aleph. Choshed HaMamona, Choshed HaShvua or not, right? If you think, basically, if you suspect someone might have stolen, does it do any good to make them swear? Or do you say, no, we want a shot. If they stole, they'll swear falsely too. So, do we say Choshed HaMamona, Choshed HaShvua or not? Tosfos seems to assume Choshed HaMamona is not Choshed HaShvua. He assumes everyone's farted, right? Meaning they're afraid of Hashem's name, right? The whole world shook when Hashem said, we'll cease on the Aseres HaDibros. The whole world didn't shake when he said, we'll take no of the Aseres HaDibros. Not that it's okay to steal. But, like, even people who are willing to violate every other affair in the Torah, they won't swear falsely, because that they're especially, especially afraid of. Okay, that's Tosfos. And therefore, why do we make people swear? Because we think they might be stealing, but we figure even if they're a thief, they won't swear falsely, so let's make them swear, and then they'll admit the truth, because they don't want to swear falsely. Rashi seems to hold that Choshed HaMamona is Choshed HaShvua. Anyone who would... that really, it's very nice, the whole world shaking, and other nice stories from the Little Medrash says are very cute, but when push comes to shove, either someone has Yir Shamayim or they don't. If someone has Yir Shamayim, they won't steal. And if someone doesn't have Yir Shamayim, they'll steal and swear falsely. The Ketzos says, hold on a second, says the Ketzos. Ketzos says, he's quoting the Mars here. So why do we ever tell someone to swear? If they might be lying, then they'll also swear falsely. What's the point? The answer is no. Because sometimes people are lying, but not because they want to steal. They're not lying because they want to steal. Why might they lie? Not because they want to steal, but because they want to be mishtamet. Or Gemara later on, because Suffolk Milvi Yashana. He's lying, not because he wants to steal, because he just wants to stall. Or he's lying, not because he wants to steal, but because the other guy, he thinks, owed him money from some previous thing, and he wants to, like, hold on to that money. You know, meaning, according to Rashi, says the Ketos, every time we make someone take a shvua, it's not because we think they're lying. We would never make you take a shvua because we think you're... No, sorry. It's not because we think you're a thief. If you're a thief, it won't help to make you take a shvua. You'll just swear falsely. The only time we make people take a shvua is because we think they're making a white lie. We think they're lying, but they're really trying to be honest. They're just trying to stall. They're just trying to stall. Either they're stalling until they have money to pay back, or they're stalling until they clarify whether you owe them money and they really deserve it or not. Right? They're just trying to stall. So says the Ketzel something very clever to explain the Ramban Rashba then. He says, in Mamon, if it's a Shiloh of Mamon, in Mamon, the Chash is that you're a Goslin. If you're fighting over who gets the money or not, we think one of us is a Goslin. If one of us is a Goslin, then a Goslin can be Mayas. He says it's not Svei Dinim of Bayes. It's, I should have switched these letters, it's a Chiluk with an Aleph. If the question is whether or not I'm Chayiv Mamon, question is which of us is a Goslin, 90% likely whoever's wrong is a Goslin. And if someone's a Goslin, then a Goslin has Ha'azah. A Goslin can be made to say anything, and therefore immediately the Ha'azah works. However, when it comes to Shavua, there is no Shash or Goslin, but the Shavua is not because we think you're a Goslin. Because shvuas don't deter gazlanim. Why is the shvua? The shvua is not because we think you're a gazlan. A shvua wouldn't deter a gazlan. Why do we put a shvua on you? We put a shvua on you because we think that you're just being mishtamet. Right? The chash mishtamet. And even though in many cases we, at this point where we don't yet know, like, there are many accusations I can make, which why would you ever want to stall? The answer is you might always want to stall, because even if I'm just saying you stole my iPod, you might want to stall because you think that I stole your iPod yesterday and you want to check with the agent before you give it back and you lose your money. So we don't give you a shvuah because we think you might have stolen. If you stole, a shvuah won't help. We only give you a shvuah because we think you're an honest guy or an almost honest guy, right?
Basically.
A basically honest guy who's being mishtamet. Then, if you're a basically honest guy who's being mishtamet, then you can't be mayis. Basically honest guys don't have the chutzpah to lie to people's face. Therefore, he says, no, it's a psychological chiluk, not a lumdish chiluk, he says. That, based on one assumption, that shvuas are only because of mishtamet. Right? Shvuas are only because of mishtamet, because chashada mamon and chashada shvuah. So says the Ketzel, once you make that one assumption, again, the question is whether these rishonim make that assumption. That's a little less clear. But once we make that assumption, it works out very beautifully. When we're fighting over money, we think someone's a Goslin can use Amigo de Haza, because if he's really a Goslin, he would have been Mayus. Therefore, if he was a lawyer, he would have been Mayus by reductio ad absurdum. We prove that you're a truth teller. But when we put a shvu on you, we don't think you're a Goslin. We only put a shvu on you because we think you're a mishtamit. If you're mishtamit, a mishtamit guy doesn't have chutzpah to be Mayus. He's a nice guy. He's an almost perfect guy. He's an almost a beseder guy. He wouldn't be mayis, and therefore he can't use amigud ha'azah, because we say maybe he's lying to be mishtame. He just didn't have the chutzpah to say the other taina. That's the brilliant chav of the ktos that was in brackets here. I just want to point out for 1 second that I thought the ritva might have a third approach to explaining that. On the sheet I put 2 ritvas, the one here and one in shavuos, quoting the ra'ah. Itak in Shavuos rejects the pshat of the Rabba for completely side reasons. He says, "Umadrina she'ein zohar zeh ha'ibechulik ba'it lo delay el da'av l'shamutet l'havli zuzeh v'kainet shemodim makes us l'chashik lo'ez az panim v'imkain ein kan migu l'fot from Shavua she'ein amur migu k'shu meiz le'ino meiz elu b'shavua." He has a funny lashon. He doesn't say you don't say a migu meiz le'ino meiz to pater from a Shavua. What does he say? You can't say migu da'aza unless you make a Shavua. It sounds like, not that Migud HaAzah doesn't pot you from a shvua. It sounds a little like Migud HaAzah is mechayev you a shvua. Right? If you want to say Migud Ha'azah, you need a Shvuah. And that's clear also what he says in Shvuah. So Mori Horaz Al Kasev, Lechi Amrin Hachad Yacholom Eschartichim Nasak Lascharcha B'Shvuahu, Umimeyaz Shein Umeyaz Neman B'Shvuah. If you want to use a Migud Umeyaz Shein Umeyaz, you have to make a Shvuah. Kidigamrinam Nodim Mitzas, how do we know? We learn from Modim Mitzas. Right? What do we learn from Modim Mitzas? That if you want to use a Migud Ha'azah, you need a Shvuah. And therefore he says in Baba Basra, Behind you of the Deizdach Lechoshel Arda, therefore, in the case not easy, he has to make a shvuah. He's using a migud ha'azah. He has to make a shvuah. It's not just that migud ha'azah doesn't pop you from a shvuah. Migud ha'azah is mechayiv you a shvuah. That seems to be a different perspective the Ritva has. So I'd say gimel. The Ritva seems to say a migud ha'azah. It's not that it doesn't pop you from a shvuah. It's mechayiv a shvuah. Meaning there's a new din. There's a new shvuah. If I claim your goats ate my barley, and I say, believe me, Migo, I could have said I bought them from you. Bez and says to me, you want us to believe with a Migo Dehaaza? Take a Shvua. There's a new Chi of Shvua. Now, many Mishonim hold there's a new Chi of Shvua, and that could be for other reasons. I'm just focusing on the Ritva now. What's this new Chi of Shvua? Mehechi Tesa, how do we know there's a new Chi of Shvua? It's not that it doesn't pop to you. More than that, it makes it's Machayim. How do we know there's a new Chi of Shvua whenever you're using a Migo Dehaaza? Where does he say we're going to read them from? From both of Mitzas. Exactly. Now, he doesn't mean a gamrin do reisel. Lachori means do rabbanon extended it, right? But migud ha'azah is mechayev shvua, which we learn from modeh b'miktzas. Now, even though we start out saying, why aren't you pater with a migu, we don't just answer why you're not pater with a migu. We answer not just you're not pater, you're chayev an migu. The Migud Ha'azah is mechayiv you to take a shvuah. What does this mean? What this means, I think what he's saying is that a third approach. It's not a limitation in Migo. No, Migud Ha'azah works. Migud Ha'azah works. There's just a new din. That if you want to use a Migud Ha'azah, well, Migud Ha'azah is a valid Migo. There's just a new din. If you want to use a Migud Ha'azah, you have to swear. How do we know? How do we know? That's our Gemara. Mithnei ma'am retar modem is a tiny yishava. Why did the Torah say a Modem Mitzvah has to swear? Because he's being mishtamen and doesn't want to be meyiz. What do we learn from Modem Mitzvah? That any time someone could have been meyiz, but takes the taina that's not meyiz, right? Anytime someone could have been meyiz, but instead chooses the taina that's not meyiz, then we really believe them. But we're a little suspicious, and since we're a little suspicious, we put a shvuah on them. Anytime someone uses a Migud Ha'azah, we end up, what is a Migud Ha'azah? Does it convince us he's telling the truth? It mostly convinces us he's telling the truth. We're just a little suspicious. Here it's not a Tzvei Dinim, it's not a Chiluk. It seems to be a quantitative thing. Migud Ha'azah is a pretty good Migo. It convinces us you're probably telling the truth. We're just a little suspicious. Since we're a little suspicious, therefore we make you swear. Even if you were Chayiv Shvuah beforehand, we make you swear. We invent the Shvuah Midrabanan and put it on you. Why? Because every Migud Ha'azah, I think what he's trying to say is that every Migud Ha'azah is a, you know, basically, it's a, you know, it's a 90% Migo, right? It's a pretty good Migo. It's a 90% Beaver. But the leftover suspicion makes us mashbia you. So it's not that it doesn't have the power of pater from a shvuah. It's that it actually creates a chi of shvuah because a migo da'aza is a pretty good migo. Meaning we believe you, but we're not 100% sure. What do we do if we believe you, but we're not totally sure? The answer is that's exactly what the Torah said. When we believe the guy, but we're not totally sure, we should make him swear just to be totally sure. And that's what he reads in Targum Arv. They ma'am and Targum Arv makes a tiny Yeshava that the Torah is saying the reason you have to swear is because you're using a Migud Ha'azah. And therefore, every Migud Ha'azah has to swear. So I think that's three explanations that are about the Rashba. Either you say the Tzvei Dinim based on Rav Chanan, or you say like the Tzos. We have different psychological insight when it comes to Mamon, and different psychological insight when it comes to Shvua, or say like the Ritva. No, it's just every Migud Ha'azah leaves us a little, mostly convinced, but a little suspicious. That's the simplest pshat. And when we're a little suspicious, you have to swear. Mehechi tesi, that when you're exactly this much suspicious, you have to swear. That's what we learned from Modem Mitzvah Tatayin. And the Nafkamina is, many of you should agree with this for other reasons anyway, that even if you weren't Chayav Shvuah originally, not just you don't get out of a Shvuah with Migud Azah, you get into a Shvuah with Migud Azah. Okay, we'll have to continue next time, Yirtzeh Hashem, with the rest of the course and continue on to the next sheet. Thank you, everyone, for your patience, but this is very, very Yisodistik and Yamin.
Can you potentially argue